Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. 67%, that's how much Sacramento County's unhoused population grew between 2019 and 2022. The unprecedented numbers, nearly 9,300 people experiencing homelessness, it made headlines and pointed to an even larger number than San Francisco. This survey is called the Point in Time Count, and every 2 years, volunteers fan out across places like Sacramento County to try and count as many people living on the streets and in shelters. The numbers are then sent to the federal government, and that translates into funding for homelessness response. To get an accurate count, the nonprofit Sacramento Steps Forward is looking for hundreds of volunteers to canvass specific areas. Joining us now is Lisa Bates, the Chief Executive Officer of Sacramento Steps Forward. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You and I have talked about the point in time count many times, but for someone who is unfamiliar with the purpose and the intention of this, talk to us about why this is done every 2 years.
This is a requirement of all communities across America to conduct a count of people that are both sheltered and unsheltered in our community every 2 years, at least every 2 years. Some communities do it annually. We do it every 2 years. The last time we conducted a count was in 2022. And the reason why this point in time count is so crucial for our community is, one, it gives us a really good barometer of who's experiencing homelessness, how many people are experiencing homelessness, and what are some of the barriers and challenges that they face, because we have an opportunity to do interviews with people who are experiencing homelessness in addition to just the count as well. The second reason why it's really important for our community is that it helps determine what sort of resources we can receive both at the federal government and also increasingly the state is using the point in time count as a measure of how they distribute resources that they're providing for homelessness. The third reason is just it's really good data to have for our decision makers and for us to use in terms of what strategies and initiatives we have to deploy in order to reduce homelessness in our community.
Yeah, I mean, because it's one thing to experience it anecdotally, you know, in your own neighborhood, but that data is so important, and especially because it's not just physically counting, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, you're actually interviewing individuals as well. So how has this count over the years allowed your nonprofit and other community partners to just better understand the best way to address and solve homelessness in our region?
Well, the point in time count, in conjunction with data that we receive from providers, I think we have to recognize it is one data source, but there are other ways in which we collect information. But what it shares with us is whether or not we have certain interventions that are working or not, or if we see different trends that are occurring in terms of how many people are experiencing homelessness because of certain factors. For example, in the 22 point in time count, we saw that although our numbers increased significantly and we saw chronic homelessness rise, which is people that are on the street for a long period of time with disabling conditions, we also saw that an increased number of those individuals ended up accepting housing or shelter. And that was largely due to some initiatives that happened during COVID. Project Room Key to provide non-congregant sheltering. So it gave us some real insight that people will accept services, particularly if they're non-congregate. And so those little nuggets of information are super helpful to inform policy and decisions about where we need to focus our efforts and our resources.
And that is really just a snapshot in time, this point in time count. So when it was, you know, 9,300, I mean, that has been said to be even a conservative estimate. It's just what can be gathered over a 2-day period, correct?
The point in time count is just one data source. And yes, it only happens every couple of years in Sacramento, and it is just a point in time. So you need to couple that information with the data that we receive from our providers. And we've been doing a really good job in Sacramento with increasing the ability to access services through a coordinated access system. And so we're seeing much more data that complements the point in time count. But the point in time count is the federally recognized data that most communities point to see trends over time. So it helps you with knowing directionally where you are going as a community, and again, providing those really deep insights through the ability to interview up to 500 or 600 people on the two nights of the count.
Yeah. And this is, as you mentioned, a requirement of HUD, which is Housing and Urban Development. It's a federal agency. But this is also made possible largely because of volunteers. Talk to us about the crucial role that volunteers play in this process.
Yes, we couldn't do this without the tremendous support of the volunteers in the community. And every single time that we conduct the count, we see overwhelming response of support and help in conducting the count. This year, we are hoping to get 700 volunteers. We're at about 450, so we'll be making a big push these next few weeks to see if we can increase the number of people that can help us, because we want to get an accurate count as possible. We are conducting the count over 2 days, and we've also added satellite locations to some of the cities, so Citrus Heights and Elk Grove and Rancho Cordova. So if you're a community member in those communities and would like to survey within your own city, you have an opportunity to do that as well.
And this point in time count is taking place, I think, in about 3 weeks, right? The 24th and the 25th. So at the end of this month, if someone's listening, they're interested in taking part in this, what is the experience like for a volunteer?
Well, it's fairly easy to sign up. You go on the website, register. There'll be a virtual training that we'll be offering in the next week or so. And then really you are able to come as yourself or as a team. We ask that to be no more than four in a team. And we will assign you an area within Sacramento County. And the expectation is that you will go out with your team and canvass that area, looking and counting for people. We have an app on a phone app that you will use. So it's very user-friendly to be able to record the information in terms of how many people you see, whether they're in tents or under bridges. And then if you are able to connect with someone who is willing to give you an interview, then there's a series of questions that we ask that you ask the individual or the family so that we can collect that information. Volunteers have shared that the experience is very rich and deep, and that they've learned so much about who's experiencing homelessness from their interactions and their conversations that they're able to have with people on those two nights.
If it is just a single individual, do they just go out by themselves, or do they get put into a group?
They get put into a group. So you don't have to come with a group, but you will be paired with other folks that are also not necessarily coming as a team.
And this takes place in the evening hours, correct?
It'll be from 5:30 to 11, and we have different deployment times that you can sign up on the site. The central location is here at Sexton State at the Alumni Center, but we also have satellite locations. So depending on where you would like to go, you have those options to help. You can also support us at the actual deployment site. So if you're wanting to help us with managing, getting people ready and out the door to be able to conduct the survey, you're welcome to do that as well.
Is there training that is needed, or do you just sign up and then you can just go ahead?
No, there's definitely training, because, you know, we want to make sure people are aware of this, of how to conduct the actual survey. But also, we're asking people to go meet folks in their spaces, in their homes, and, you know, the respect and how to approach people. And if they do not want to be surveyed, you know, how to respect that. And so there's a pretty in-depth training that is done just to help folks understand how to engage in the actual count and the surveying.
You mentioned that you added satellite locations outside of just, you know, the city proper. You mentioned areas like Citrus Heights. What went into selecting these locations for the point in time count?
Well, we really just asked our surrounding cities if they wanted to participate and have an option to have satellite locations. So three of the major cities will have them on one of the two nights. Folsom will be conducting a count in the morning, so that one is not as accessible to volunteers, but the other three. So we've received really good participation from our surrounding jurisdictions. Obviously, the city and county are very involved in the development of the pit, but wanting to make sure that all of our region is having an opportunity to partake.
Are there any requirements to be a volunteer?
Main requirement is that you're over 18. You're going to have to have a vehicle, or someone has to have a vehicle to be able to drive, and preferably that you have a smartphone so that you can download the application.
Yeah, you did mention there is an app. So tell us about it and how this actually helped streamline the process for you.
Well, one thing that it does for us is it's giving us real-time data. So as people are out on the street counting and surveying, we are collecting that information in real time. So we can see very quickly how the count is going, if there's any issues, you know. And so it's a much better way for us to connect immediately with the teams in terms of the work that they're doing out on the field.
Hmm. You're also partnering with a company. It's called Symtec Solutions. What is their role in this?
Symtec is a national company that is really reinforcing the methodology that we're using in order to make sure that we have an accurate count. They are also supplying the application that is on the phones that we're using, and they're providing insights from how other communities across the nation are conducting their counts. So they were selected in part because of their national presence and their work in many other communities and their deep work with the federal government around point-in-time counts.
I know that this count is so crucial to get really an accurate snapshot at how those experiencing homelessness, this population, is evolving and changing within Sacramento County. The last count, as I led with, was unprecedented. It was over 9,000 people experiencing homelessness on any given night. Anecdotally, given that, you know, you are vested in this issue, do you think these numbers might be better or might be in line with 2022? What does it look like in Sacramento County right now?
Yeah, I think what we've seen nationally and in California is, and this was just released, is that there continues to be rises in homelessness nationally and certainly in California. So I think the point in time count will give us a sense of how much change will we see in Sacramento this time around. There's been a number of efforts and programs and initiatives that have been put in place with the city and the county and the COC that, at least on some of our other data, are showing some impressive or movements that may temper increases. But we don't know until we conduct that point in time count.
Lisa, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Lisa Bates is the Chief Executive Officer of Sacramento Steps 4, talking to us about the biennial point in time count. They are looking for a few hundred more volunteers. We have more information on our website. The point in time count is happening in Sacramento County at the end of the month. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. And if you want to join the conversation, you can email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer and audio engineer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.